appointed to be read for this, the first Sunday in Advent, is taken from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, understand, for it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep, because now our salvation is nearer than when we came to believe. The night is far advanced, the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in debauchery and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Gospel. Is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth distress of nations bewildered by the roaring of the sea and waves, men fainting for fear, and for expectation of the things that are coming on the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming upon a cloud, and with great power and majesty. But when these things begin to come to pass, look up your heads, because your redemption is at hand." And he spoke to them a parable. "Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now put forth their buds, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things coming to pass, know that the kingdom of God is near. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass till all things have been accomplished. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Thus, for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, there are some things that I need to emphasize this morning. First of all, in the order as presented, there will be the usual monthly oblate meeting this morning after this Mass. Thursday, December the 6th, is the Feast of St. Nicholas. It goes without saying that even though it be Advent, that we should, especially if there be children in the family, in the household, that we have a little treat on that day, a little surprise treat for the children especially, and celebrate the day, still keeping in mind the atmosphere of the season of Advent, but above all things, though, that we do have a treat, a small treat, a nice treat, a delightful treat, that all the family come together and enjoy this treat together. Friday of this week is the vigil of the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, and it is a day of fast and abstinence. We should fast on that day if it's humanly possible. Children under age and those advanced in age are certainly not obliged to fast, but if they choose to do so, it will certainly be fine. Saturday of this week is a feast itself of the Immaculate Conception of our Blessed Mother. If ever we need to get on our knees and ask for the help of this lady, of this mother, it should be now. Every one of us. It is a holy day of obligation, dear people, and the masses here are at 6 and 8 and 7 p.m. 6 and 8 in the morning and 7 in the evening. Just a word of information for those who may not be completely familiar with the Advent wreath. You will notice that there are three purple candles and one pink, a rose candle, rose-colored candle. The rose-colored candle is lit on the third Sunday of Advent, which is called Gaudete Sunday, Rejoice Sunday, Be Happy Sunday. And it can be called Rose Sunday. The same thing happens during Lent. You will notice in today's bulletin, it's quite a bit, and I ask you please to not put these bulletins aside, because as you will notice, we have several notations saying early notice, early notice, early notice. The reason for this early noticing is that we bring the Father Francis today is in Montgomery on the first Sunday, and this is the only chance that we get to have, rather, to give the Montgomery people the information that is needed. And this is the latest and the earliest that we can bring this information to them by this bulletin of the first Sunday. So those early notices pertain primarily to the people of Montgomery. But keep this bulletin, and because it has so much in it that we should be doing. It's going to be a busy month for all of us. Preparations are in order, and they are in order, provided they stay orderly. And let us prepare for the great feast that comes to us. The world outside is forgetting what this feast is about, that is about to come upon us. I heard only just a day or two ago that in one of the states of our nation, it is now not exactly outlawed, but highly discredited, that we no longer use the term ho, ho for Christmas, because ho, ho, somehow or other about ho, ho, that it reminds us of Christmas, and we don't want to think about Christmas. Let us, instead of saying ho, ho, let us say, let me see now, ha, ha. My dear people, we're crazy, aren't we? At any rate, so much for ho, ho. In this morning's bulletin, by the grace of God, and to the delight of certain individuals in our church, we have some musical notations. And by the grace of God, and some work on our part, we are going to begin to have some singing of hymns on Sundays, particularly. And this morning, we start with the beautiful hymn to Emmanuel. Now this hymn, I'm sure that most people have not put it all together. You will see also in our bulletin this morning, there's a page that is devoted to what is referred to as the great O antiphons of this season. The O antiphons don't really start until December the 17th. And each of the days before, see, Christmas is a great announcement day. The coming of our Lord is a great announcement day. And there are many things that point in the direction of this great and awesome coming. And the church takes advantage of this and presents to us every little thing possible to announce to us this coming. And on these seven days before Christmas, we recite each day at the Divine Office of Vespers one of these O antiphons, each one of these antiphons referring to some great mystery concerning our Lord. And this hymn that we are singing, though it's secular perhaps in recollection, but this hymn and the way we have arranged the singing of the verses of this hymn, we are each day, if you will later on make the comparisons, you will see that each of these Sundays, two today, two next Sunday, two the following Sunday, and two the last Sunday, that each of these old antiphons is brought to light as we sing about it at this time. So the old antiphons in this singing, we hope to introduce the singing, that they will be used to remind us, to keep us pointed. We need pointers, and we must take advantage of pointers that will point us into the direction where, as we walk through a world that is absolutely striving, working overtime to cause us, to bring us to the forgetfulness of what this is all about. Also, my beloved people, in today's bulletin is the custom of the blessing of bread. I ask you, please, to try to take advantage of these opportunities. They're small things, they're simple things, they're innocent things, but enormous. Absolutely enormous and extremely powerful. In the blessing of this bread, it is important that the mother of the family bake the bread. Now, I realize that in our modern age, many of our mothers, our ladies, have forgotten, have never had the opportunity to bake bread. And so this is something that might prove to be a bit annoying or a little tough, but the mothers should do this. Even if the bread is a complete flop, it doesn't matter. It was baked by the mother of the household. And this bread is brought to this church in good, bad, or indifferent condition. It doesn't make any difference. Wrap it neatly, identify it. There will be a table put here in the middle of the church, and this bread will be blessed here in this church. And then you will bring it home, take it home with you, and put it on your table. At dinner, whether it be at noon or in the evening, it doesn't make any difference. This bread then, the fathers take over. And you men, in your home, in your house, you will raise your hand in benediction, like you're supposed to. You, men, in your home, in your house, you, men, sinners, as we all are, weak, frightened, scared, men, in your home, in your household, you, as I in my household, you represent Jesus Christ. And don't you forget that. And then the man, the father of the house, picks up this loaf of bread. It will not be sliced. It must be a complete loaf. And the father of that household will pick up that loaf of bread, and he will break pieces one at a time. And he will reach out, first of all, to his wife, to his companion, in peace. Perhaps there'd been some friction between the two. Perhaps there's been misunderstanding between the two. But the father of that house has to exercise the greatest strength possible to hand his wife a piece of that blessed bread. And she, on the other hand, will have to exercise strength and accept and receive the parcel of bread from her husband. We're not talking about small things, people. Not at all. And then the father of that family will break another piece of bread and hand it to each of his children. And each of his children, in turn, will accept and receive this piece of bread that has been given to them by the father of that family. We are talking power, not earthly power, but power that is far beyond what we understand and run into every day. We're not talking about the power of money, because money produces power, but what a weak power it is that money produces. We're talking about a power that transcends money. In the epistle today, we are told, point blank, it is time for us to get up out of bed, plainly speaking. It is time for us to wake up. It is time for us to understand why we are here. It is time for us to know that everything we do here, if not done in the name of God, it is nothing. Nothing at all. And we are reminded as we wake up from sleep that this has to stop. Somehow or other, it must stop. And we must come to put first things first and put away the foolishness that every one of us is guilty of. I use the word us. My beloved people, I'm sure you are aware of it. Do you see it as I tell you each time I mention this? Because you are walking in this atmosphere. Just this past week, a gentleman visited us, and he pointed out something, he himself. He says, it's in the air we breathe. All of us, nobody is excluded from this air that we are breathing. And it is a virus-filled air. And none of us, not any one of us, is able to avoid breathing this air. We know that. We do not live a religion that is telling us what we are supposed to be doing, how we are supposed to be living. As has been pointed out enough times, a lot of times, not enough times, but many times, we do not come to church on Sunday just to, in the manner of speaking, fulfill some sort of obligation that someone told us we need to fulfill. It's important, yes, but that is not the primary reason why we come to church on Sunday. We come to church, we come to Mass, we receive Holy Communion. That is our food, that is our nourishment to last us until the following Sunday. But we don't come to church on Sunday and then we put church aside as we do our Sunday clothing and put it all in a closet and shut it away until the following Sunday. What we pick up, what we take home with us at church should be the nourishment to keep us all during the week mindful of what our obligations are. It is a religion. It is a religion that we carry with us. If the world produces a putrid odor to us, which it does, then let us take the fragrance of what we breathe in church, and may that fragrance stay with us all week. And as a consequence of that, that everything we do, everything, I exclude nothing. Every step we take, every heartbeat, every breath we take must be for Him who gives us life. Now you might ask the question, that's all very good, sounds wonderful, but that's where they live that kind of life in monasteries. Yes, we try to, but this is not just for monks or nuns. It is for everybody. And on Christmas night, before the baby Jesus is brought into this church, you will hear a knock on the door. That's Christ knocking on our door to be allowed in our house. Think for a minute. I wonder how many or how few houses, because He will knock on every door of every house on this earth on that night. I wonder how many doors will open to Him and allow Him to come into the house on that night. The doors, rather, will be barred because they will not stomach being being reminded of what takes place on that awesome, magnificent night. And if there's not clarity, I invite you to step outside on that night. Look around you, look at the heavens on that night. And if you look closely, you will notice that there's something different about that night. That you will see more than normally on that night, because things are happening. And the Lord God has come to us to make it possible for you and me, wretched sinners that we are, undeserving sinners that we are, made it possible for you and me and us to achieve that which we were intended to achieve. Our holy religion is the only thing, really, not because I said so, not because anybody said so, but anybody with walking sense will know that our holy religion gives us an answer that no other thing on this earth is able to give us. Nothing, no matter what, can give us the answer that our holy religion gives us. And as we say so often, what does our religion ask of us? It asks of us that which God and Christ himself ask of us. So simple, so very, very, very simple. All that our holy religion asks of us is to look at God, to look at Jesus Christ, face to face, and simply tell him that you love him. That's all. Nothing more. Nothing more at all. Nothing could be more simple. But as you know, that love will bring you and me, will bring us to give to him. And as this morning you start your planting processes, there's plenty of packages of wheat up here. Come help yourselves to them. One for each member of the family. Whatever is left over and above, simply take it and plant it in your yard, scatter it in your lawn. Blessed wheat. And remember what you were told, what I said, for you, not just for you, but for us, that each grain of that wheat that you put in that little container represents an act of strength unknown to anybody else. That you have conquered something that needs conquering. And that each grain that you put in that little planter represents a conquering, represents a victory. Each grain. Little children, remember that this wheat might take a few days for it to start growing, but it will. And when the little shoots begin to show as they come through the earth, through the soil in the little planter, you will be very, very excited And you will call your mother and father to come in and see what's in that planter. And then on Christmas, as we said before, that you take that planter, each one, and bring it to the baby Jesus. A gift. Are you going to bring him? Are we going to bring him a little planter that looks like a desert, barren, with nothing in it? You will have to take that one to Jesus. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Or are you going to bring him, take to him, bring to him, whichever it is, those two words always puzzle me. Or are we going to bring to him a garden full of growth and beauty? Our holy religion being lived day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. There's so much that if each of us industriously planted in that planter, we would fill it up. How many conquests do we have to, that rage around us at every moment? Those of you who are newcomers or visiting today, I see that you show interest and wonder, what am I talking about? Get a little plant, little aluminum thing you can buy, wherever they sell them, and fill it with ordinary soil. Come up here after Mass. Take these packets at home with you. And each time you have a conquest, a victory, plant a grain of wheat. It will fall to the mothers and fathers to make sure for the little children to keep these planters properly watered. Don't drown them and don't turn them into desert conditions, but keep them where they will grow. My dear people, your children will tell you how important and how exciting this really is. And nothing, no gift that money can buy, no gift at all, if it were enough to buy this whole world, it would not equal the importance of that little pot with some soil in it. Nothing will equal that, my beloved people. And tonight, when you go home, when you have dinner, fathers, again, it's your place to bless the Advent wreath. I will not let the fathers go. You have work to do. And the reason why this world is topsy-turvy is because the fathers have collapsed. And you know it. It is time for the fathers to take over. And I might say this so that nobody gets left out. And if the fathers have collapsed, it is because the mothers have permitted it. No father will fall short of his duty if the mother does not support him. Did you hear that? My beloved people, my most beloved people.